Guru Kirpal Ji, Tera Sahara. O Guru Kirpal, we have your support. A bhajan on page 48. O Guru Kirpal, we have your support. Separation from you troubles me daily. Without Nam, I have no comfort. Your Nam rains down everywhere. With every breath, I remember you. Without you, I'm not worth a penny. Oh, my merciful to the poor ones, it is all your grace. I bore the taunts and criticism. Without you, who can remove the pain? Oh, my true friend, shower grace on me. Together, the friends remember you. Your Nam is talked about everywhere. You are unreachable, endless, and limitless. The servant Ajab remembers you and with every breath sings the Nam of the Guru. You have blessed the infinite store of Nam. O Guru Kirpal, we have your support.
Tera Sahara Guru Kirpala Ji Tera Sahara Teri Judai Nita Satave Teri Judai Nita Satave Nama biname nuchena na ave. Nama biname nuchena na ave. Tere hi nama da chalia puhara. Guru kiripala ji tera sahara. Guru Kirpala Ji Tera Sahara Hare Dhamma Teri Mayad Manava Hare Dhamma Teri Mayad Manava Tere Bina Mula Kordi Napava Tere bina mula kordi na pava, Tere daya mere dina diara, Guru kiripala ji tera sahara, Guru kiripala ji tera sahara, Tahane mehne chale sare, Tahane mehne chale sare, Tere bina dukha kaun nivare, Tere bina dukha kaun nivare, Mehara kari mere sachia o yara Guru kiripala ji tera sahara Guru kiripala ji tera sahara Rala mila yada manau di asaya Rala mila yada manau di asaya Nama tere di aduma paya Nama tere di aduma paya Tu aparampara agama apara Guru Kirpala Ji Tera Sahara Guru Kirpala Ji Tera Sahara Das Ajaib Yad Manave dasa ajayabhyad manave Haridamanama guru dagave Haridamanama guru dagave Te bhakshyanama atuta bandara guru kiripala jitera sahara Guru Kiripala Jitera Sahara.
Separation from you troubles me daily. Without Nam, I have no comfort. Your Nam rains down everywhere. With every breath, I remember you. Without you, I'm not worth a penny. O my merciful to the poor ones, it is all your grace. O Guru Kirpalji, we have your support. Next Saturday, October 13th, there will be a one-day meditation retreat in remembrance of the founding of Sanpani Ashram and the first visit of Master Kirpal Singh on October 11th, 1963. All initiates are welcome to attend any of the scheduled meditation sittings, and schedules can be picked up at the book table in the big house. Local initiates who plan to take meals at the ashram are requested to please let the ashram know, and there is a sign-up at the book table in the big house, a sign-up sheet for meals. This is continuing from the book Spiritual Gems, early letters of Baba Sawan Singh to his Western disciples. Letter number 74. Baba Sawan Singh writes, I was pained to learn that your husband did not appreciate your love, fidelity, and solicitude for him. My advice to you given at the time of your marriage was from the point of view of a Hindu wife. Among Hindus, marriage is regarded as a sacrament and a permanent union. I am glad to learn that you have done your best to follow that advice. If he cannot pull on with you, then you can do whatever you think proper. You have done your duty towards him. I am satisfied with your behavior in this matter. You have my full permission to do as you like under the circumstances. I sympathize with you in your wish to have a small home of your own where you can enjoy privacy and solitude and make progress on the path. Try to gain your livelihood by some profession or employment which would leave time for your spiritual practice, yet bring you sufficient income to live comfortably. Do not try to strain your neck or shoulder muscles during spiritual meditation, nor put any kind of pressure on your brain, eyes, and so forth. I think nobody told you at the time of initiation to strain your nerves. Spiritual concentration does not depend on putting pressure on any part of the body. The aim of spiritual practice is firstly and primarily to make the mind still and motionless so that no thought of any kind may disturb it while it is listening to the sound. As the vibrations of the mind are made quiet, the sound current will itself become clearer and clearer without any need of putting pressure on the eyes, ears, or brain. And for stilling the vibrations of the mind, all that is necessary is to repeat the five holy names with care and attention so that the mind does not wander. If it wanders during repetition, then a second link should be applied to it by concentrating on the form of the Guru. But there's no need of putting any strain on the body. Any posture in which you can remain for long would do for concentration. Frequent changes of position interfere with concentration. If we concentrate our soul in this lifetime, then we pass our days happily in this world, and at death, the Master appears and takes our souls with him to higher worlds, to our unbounded joy and happiness. Therefore, try to achieve spiritual progress in your lifetime, so that you may rise above worldly circumstances. The spiritual advance you make in this life will go with you. Thank you. I am enjoying good health, and I wish that you labor in the path and lift the veil within so as to take your soul to the higher regions. Do your day's work, but let your attention remain fixed on Master's form or repetition or hearing the sound. If you go on working with patience and perseverance, you will get everything. 75. I am glad to learn of your progress in your spiritual practices. If you continue to put in time regularly in your practices, you will have more experiences of higher realms in your spiritual flights. Men do not see them for want of inversion of all of their outgoing faculties. Shabda is all-powerful, and it is resounding in all directions. The time factor is necessary for the achievement of the goal before you. You need not be disheartened at your slow progress in the spiritual way. If a satsangi has not been able to give full time to his practices and has progressed very little during his lifetime, but is imbued with the love of the Master and has no attachment for the world and its desires, then Master is so gracious that the satsangi is not given any rebirth. He is placed after death in a suitable place inside, in the first or second region, where he completes the deficiencies before going further up. As regards the young child with beautiful purple aura that you saw in your practice, you should pay no heed to him. He is one of the five evils personified: lust, anger, greed, attachment, and pride. They leave the satsangi one by one as he progresses on his way up. Each man is enveloped with an aura, bearing colors according to the quality of inner waves of thought surging in him. Sensual appetites create the impression of a dark red radiance. The clear-cut conception of a logical thinker is experienced as a yellowish figure with a sharply defined cut line. Blue color represents love. White color speaks for spirituality, and so forth. In your practices, you should not put any strain or pressure on your eyes. Repeat the names mentally. When concentration will be developed, the soul will of itself withdraw inside, back of the pineal gland. No attempt should be made to locate the gland or the nerves leading to it. The seeker who devotes time regularly in his spiritual practices need not despair. Why lose heart and entertain weak thoughts? Have a strong desire that you have to attain the goal in this very birth. If you go up even one plane in this birth, you will not come back into the physical frame again. Rebirth is only for those who have worldly desires. 76. Dot, dot, dot. And am glad to learn that you have deep love for Radhaswami and to work upon the path. Although you are separated from my physical body, yet you are not away from my mind. The Satguru in his sound form is taking proper care of you and is within you. When, by means of concentration, you have closed the nine portals of the body and have crossed the solar system, the Master in his radiant form will reveal himself to you. He will talk to you in the same manner as you talk to people in this world. He will answer all your questions and will be with you all your life. You should not be sorry for being alone. We are born alone and leave this world alone. None go with us. Even this body has to be left behind. It is the Master and the sound current that keep us company at death and after death. The internal spiritual journey is very sweet and interesting, and so also the study of books relating to the path. When you go up high enough, you will see much finer and more interesting scenes. What you have said about seeing the radiant form of Master Jesus is quite true. You will meet him again when you go in, but you are to go much higher up and beyond him. You should die daily, as you died on the day that you saw that vision of Christ. You should devote much time to your spiritual practice, so that you may see those things daily. Those visions and scenes are still within you, and when you go within, you will see them. Please keep your mind and attention present during meditation and work hard. Let not the thought of karma discourage you. When you work with a firm resolve, you will overcome all obstacles. Do not despair, but go on working hard. This is not a path of despair. Always keep a firm resolve of going in. You have ceased to see those visions and scenes only because your attention came outward and the concentration scattered. If you now work hard, you can go still further inside, because the path which has been indicated to you is much higher. When you work, you will see with your own eyes, and you will not need to ask others. Letter 77. As for your nose trouble, it must be due to something wrong with your stomach and the bronchial tubes. You might get it treated by some physician. It is due to past karma, yet that does not imply that you should not take steps to get rid of this nuisance. So long as you are suffering, you can go on repeating the five holy names while sitting in an easy chair, while lying or in any comfortable posture, and even while walking. This continuous repetition will bring about concentration of the mind, and it will make your willpower stronger. Do not lose courage. The master who has given you initiation is bound to take you to the highest region. If owing to illness you cannot complete your course, he will give you another birth with far better circumstances favorable to spiritual advancement. He is not going to leave you in the lurch. If you cannot sit in the prescribed posture, you can sit with both hands joined in your lap. The object is to bring about concentration of the mind and make the mind motionless. This will not cause pain in your arms and hands. Do not strain your body, and do not try to make spiritual progress in a hurry. Do it calmly and quietly. Whatever you want to ask, you may do so without hesitation, and a reply will be sent to you. 78. Had you continued to keep your mother at your house and served her till the end, you would have discharged a filial duty, for she had nursed you in your helpless infancy. But perhaps she was too exacting and too difficult to please. You did not mean any harm to her, and you had every good intention when you sent her to be looked after by a private lady. Let her remain where she is. She has to undergo her own karma, which is called pralabdha. The total number of breaths which one is to take till death, the morsels which one is to eat, and the steps which one is to walk are all preordained at death, and no one can alter, decrease, or increase them. There is no harm in praying to the Lord that she may be relieved of her pain and suffering. The master helps the relatives of his pupils when they depart from this life. You should go on doing your meditation in repetition so that it may do her some good after this life. 79. If the meditation is performed in a reclining position, such as in a bed, it takes longer time to bring about concentration, and very often sleep interrupts the meditation. If husband and wife are agreed as to their religious belief, that is conducive to their happiness. If husband and wife are filled with the same desire for making spiritual progress, they are helpful to one another. If at a time one is slack, the keenness of the other makes him work up. Thus both of them, being travelers on the same path, are helpful to one another, their destinations being the same. But each has his own karma to undergo. The karma of each partner is different. Yet if a couple meditates together, they also become companions in the spiritual journey. Letter 80. I am sorry to learn of the demise of your mother. One feels grieved when a dear one goes away forever, and this grief is natural, so long as the attention is attached to the body, relations, and friends, and has not entered the eye center. At such times, the mind is in tension and raises questions of life and death, and experiences strange dreams. Sometimes in dream, the attention gets directed toward the eye center, and from a distance, catches flashes of what goes on in or near the eye center, in the astral plane. The flashes are usually blurred and seldom clear. A clear flash turns out to be correct. Again, in this tension, one may experience a little pull toward the eye center and its painful effect on the body, a dying sensation, because one is not accustomed to withdraw the vital current from the body at will. But dreams are dreams, and it is good that no importance is attached to them, and they are thrown out from memory. Reliance should be placed on experiences gained by going inside consciously. The world is an inn where travelers assemble from different directions for the night and by morning take to their respective destinations. In the family, one comes as father, the other as mother, and still others as sons and daughters. All are directed by their respective karma, and they leave the family in their time. In every birth, an insect, bird, the animal, the human form, one gets a mother and a father. The number of mothers, fathers, and near relations one has had are countless. For whom, then, should one worry? Our worry does not help them. The worry should be to reach the eye center and make it one's home, and meet the radiant form of the Master and the Shabda that pulls up, so that there is no birth hereafter and no worries. Your mother had not received initiation, so her future course is guided by her karma. The best you can do for her is to complete your own course of repetition and thereby complete your concentration. Your mother will get some benefit from your efforts in this line. At death, the suffering is acute, and one should learn to die daily to withstand this pain. Withdrawal of the scattered attention from the body into the eye center is death, leaving the physical plane and entering the astral plane. The dream of the semi-conscious state, as said before, is not to be relied upon. If the attention were catching the true Shabd, there should not be a dream or an unconscious state. Shabda brings in a super-conscious state. Physical effects do not stand in the way of rising from one region to another. The mind and soul are to go up. The physical body is left behind at the eye center. The vital portion of the reproductive area is vital for production, but not for concentration and rising up. So long as there is sex desire, there is no real love for the Master, and the Shabda that will free one from sex desire and pull him up. Superficial love does not count for much. There is antagonism in Shabda and sex desire. Shabd pulls up the attention towards the eye center, and sex desire throws the attention down to the lowest center, the reproductive organs. Physical contact pulls the attention down. There's no question of a lift of one or the other through contacts. The use of liquor is bad, It unsettles the mind, and an unsettled mind brings in its train all the evils which one in a normal state avoids. And finally, letter number 81. Baba Sawan Singh writes, I went through your loving letter with the care it deserved. I was pleased to read it, as its contents indicated the good-heartedness of the writer. When you sit for bhajan, you should enter into an agreement with your mind, considering it as an entity different from you, that it should not bother you for the period of 2 hours. You can tell it that if it misbehaves, you will sit for even more than 2 hours. For as long as it does not feel the ecstasy of internal bliss. This is how the human mind is to be controlled. As a matter of fact, our mind is like the proverbial serpent guarding the spiritual treasure, which cannot be obtained till the menace of the serpent is surmounted. Never mind the past. Look to the present and the future in the spirit of a true devotee. Do not mind if your limbs begin to ache after sitting for long in meditation. After some practice, they will cease to be troublesome and will, as if it were, go to sleep. As by means of bhajan, the soul and the mind are drawn up to the center above the two eyes, where you have to focus your undivided attention at the time of bhajan. When, by this means, your mind begins to accept control and discipline and becomes motionless, you will see within yourself the effulgence of the spiritual world, which will lead you to the stars, the sun, and the moon, all within you, and after them to the feet of the Master, which you so eagerly wish to reach. When you reach that stage, the Master will speak to you just as you converse with the people around you in this physical world. Just think, all around you is perishable, and after death, none can befriend you or guide you, except the Master and the Nam. Why should Dr. Johnson's book frighten anyone? It is no use shutting one's eyes to the laws of transmigration, which is far more real and inexorable than some people in their short-sightedness feel inclined to admit. The saints show the path that leads out of this vicious circle of creation on this earth. It is only by means of bhajan that a person can travel a path that leads out of it and takes one to the sacred feet of the great Almighty. When a loving devotee dies, the Master takes care of the soul. He guides it and instructs it even after death. In this respect, the death of a devotee is totally different from the death of a man of the world. But it behooves all disciples to give as much time and attention to the development of the spiritual side of their being as possible. It is only thus that the soul can be freed from the bondage of body and mind, from the downward pull of the senses, and can work its way up to the great ocean of which it is a drop. If you really think that the purchase of property at blank or elsewhere will be a sound business proposition, you may go in for it. This war cannot last forever. It is, of course, open to you and your husband to make an honest living in any way you like, compatible with your means and your aptitude. And along with the talks, the letters from Spiritual Gems, we've been reading talks published in the book The Night is a Jungle, a series of satsangs that Master Kripal gave that were published, collected in this book and published. The first four talks were from a series of talks that Master Kripal Singh gave in Philadelphia in his first tour in the U.S. in 1955. The first talk was called God and Man, The second talk was called The Higher Values of Life. The third talk is called The Kingdom of God. We're about to start that in the final paragraph of the second talk. Master Kripal Singh said, "Today's subject is over. Next, we will take up the kingdom of God, how to open the inner eye to see it and enter therein. We will see what all the masters and scriptures have to say on this subject. And lastly, we will deal with the most natural way. There are so many ways and means for that, but we will turn to the most natural way, which even a child can follow." And the last talk in the series is called The Natural Way. So this is the kingdom of God, number three. Whenever we read religious books or study any subject, there is a certain terminology peculiar to each of them. For instance, in law books, certain terms have a specialized meaning or connotation. If we are conversant with the definitions of the term used, we are able to understand the law properly, and we will be able to apply it. If a layman reads the text of the same law, he will not be able to grasp it or to apply the true meaning of the law. We have scriptures, holy scriptures, at hand. Therein we find a certain specialized terminology. Unless we are conversant with it, we may not be able to understand the true import of the scriptures. For instance, there are certain words used in the scriptures, such as kingdom of God, which is within you. There is the light of God. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. These are certain terms peculiar to the English Bible. Because of the special use of words like these, persons not conversant with them are not able to understand the scriptures correctly. They simply interpret them from the intellectual level, and phrases like light within you or God is light are interpreted by the people as meaning intellectual light. But the scriptures tell us, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. So what is the difference? Whenever the masters came, they gave out the truth in a very simple way, so that even the unsophisticated could understand. But unfortunately, people with no practical inner experience have interpreted them in a way that makes it difficult for others to understand. If we take up the scriptures ourselves and read them, we will find their language always very simple, but the task is rendered difficult if we study them in the light of the controversies raised by different intellectual interpreters who have no knowledge of the practical side of things. Working from the intellectual plane, they complicate matters. Those who read the conflicting commentaries on the scriptures become confused and are spiritually unrewarded. So the task would become easier if you would read the scriptures directly yourselves. I think the best way to understand any scripture is always to read it in the original language in which it was written. If you know the language, you will probably be able to understand better than by reading how somebody else has translated it in the language which you know. A single error in interpretation may alter much of the essence. The majority of our scriptures were written in a language different from that in which we read them now. When I was in search of truth, I wanted to read the Persian literature of Maulana Rumi, Shams Tabriz, and other saints of the Middle East. I read the commentaries of highly renowned interpreters, and each gave a different version of the same thing. A commentator tends to give the viewpoint he holds, not what the scriptures, the real texts of the scriptures, convey. And so the persons who depend on these commentaries are liable to be misled. For this reason, I had to study the Persian language thoroughly, so that I might be able to read those scriptures in their original form. And I found them different from what the commentators had said. The Bible was originally written in Hebrew. Later it was translated into different languages. The translators found here and there something which they could not understand correctly, and so those who only read those translations run the risk of going, and so those who only read these translations run the risk of going astray. I have had occasion to meet very intellectually advanced people who were leaders of thousands of men. When I questioned them about something from the scriptures, just for interpretation's sake, they keep quiet, or they give some quaint interpretation of their own on an intellectual level. Their conception of God, soul, and scriptures answered to the level of their intellect and their interests. Whenever I speak, I always ask the heads of various sects what they understand by scriptural quotes, like, God is light, and ye are the temple of the living God, etc. But they, not having gone within, interpret the light of God as the light of reason and intellect. The other day I met the head of a large religious society and questioned him about the significance of words like, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light, and the kingdom of God is within you. It cannot be had by observation. Well, does it mean anything? And there was no reply to that question. The point is, the truths are there in the Holy Scriptures. The pity is that not being conversant with what lies within, we cannot interpret correctly. I have had a series of talks in a church in Louisville. The clergyman in charge was very open-minded, and he admitted that though what I said was borne out by the Bible and other scriptures, yet he had no practical knowledge of the truths mentioned therein. What I am telling you is not anything new. It is all there in the scriptures. I simply had the good fortune to sit at the feet of a master in India who was a practical and perfect saint, and at his feet I learned not only the theory but also the practice, seeing the truth for myself. When you see things for yourself, then you are fully convinced. Generally, what do you find? We take God as a matter of something in the way of feeling, or something emotional, or just as a matter of inference arrived at by intellectual striving. All these are subject to error, but the scriptures tell us that we have eyes, and yet we see not. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which ye see, and they have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and they have not heard them. Our scriptures say so. Well, what did they see and what did they hear? That is the point. The scriptures tell us that God is light. They say, and they saw the light of God. But where and how? God made man in his own image, and man made places of worship after the image of man. Churches are nose-shaped. All temples of other religious sects are dome-shaped, like the head, and the place of worship in Mohammedan mosques are forehead-shaped. All these are made after the image of man. What do we keep in them? First, we keep the symbol of light, and second, the symbol of the sound principle. This is only to show seekers after truth that in this temple of the body that you are carrying, you will find the light of God, the light that you can see if your inner eye is opened. You will also hear the sweet symphony of the music of the spheres, as Plato puts it, that is reverberating throughout all creation. So the physical body is the true temple of God. And after this image of man, the outer places of worship were made, in which you find the symbols of light and sound. When I was in service, I had a Roman Catholic office superintendent working under me. I asked him to go to the Bishop of Lahore in the Punjab to ask about the symbolism of the big bell that is rung in churches. This symbol you also find in other places of worship, whether they are Hindu or Sikh, Jain or Buddhist. We also find the symbol of light in the churches in the form of lighted candles, which is a common symbol in places of worship. I just explained all this to him and asked him to inquire of the bishop, who is considered to be the most advanced in India, what are the ringing of the bells and what they stand for. He did go to the bishop, who replied that the bells were meant simply to call people to the church. But if that were correct, how can we explain this custom in the temples of other religions, where every visitor, when he enters, tolls the bell? Among the Hindus, it is a common practice to light earthen lamps and ring bells at prayer time. These symbols stand for something about which we are ignorant. When you look within this temple of God, the human body, you find the light of God. Where to find God? Does he reside in the Holy Scriptures? The Holy Scriptures merely contain a very good account of the valuable experiences that the masters had themselves within this temple of the body. The masters saw the light of God within, and they heard the voice of God within. And the reading of Scriptures should inspire in us a desire to know the truth. Does God reside in the holy temples? We have respect for all temples, because there we all sing the praises of the Lord. These holy temples are made after the image of man to remind us that God is to be realized within the human body and not outside it. So where then does God reside? In the true temple of the body. We find in Corinthians, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" All is holy where devotion kneels. The true temples are those bodies we are carrying. The whole world is the true temple of God, the earth below and the sky above. There is no place where God is not present. These temples were made to enable us to sit together and join our hands in prayer to the Almighty. For that reason, we get together in temples. But God does not reside in the temples made by human hands. He resides in this human frame, which truly is the temple of God. We must keep it clean and chaste. How clean we keep the temples of brick and mortar, both without and within. But what about the true temple of God, the human body? It must, above everything else, be kept pure and chaste. In Corinthians, we have, "Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." But we only defile this temple of God. Again, I refer to Corinthians. "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." These scriptures are all ours. They were produced by the holy masters who found God within themselves. Whatever experience they had, they recorded for our guidance and our help. Again, we find in the Bible, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." The phrase "flesh and blood" signifies the life of the senses. Until we know how to rise above the physical body, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. St. Paul wrote, "Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth the corruptible inherit the incorruptible." The Lord of heaven and earth dwelleth not in temples made with hands. This is what all scriptures say. This does not in any way mean that we have no respect for the places of worship. We have respect for them because these are the places meant for singing the praises of the Lord, whom we are enjoined to love with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Because we love God, wherever we sit together and chant his praises, the atmosphere of that place gets charged with the loving devotion of the devotees. But God resides in us, That is the point I am bringing out. A Mohammedan saint says, whom you worship, whom you are after, he resides in you, and you are seeking him elsewhere, in the outer things. How will you find him? That is what the scriptures and all the saints tell us. The body is the true temple of God, wherein God resides. How can we worship him? The scriptures tell us, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The elementary steps that we have in all the religions begin with the body. These lead or pave the road to true spirituality and are helping factors. They are means to the end. They help us just like a nurse helps in bringing up a child. We have to make the best use of them, and with due deference to all the social religions and their immense importance to man's social life, we must go beyond them. It is a blessing to be born in a temple, but not necessarily to die in one. I told you earlier that we in the 20th century are fortunate in possessing the records of the spiritual experience of all the masters who came in the past. We are fortunate that we have all these words of wisdom, the invaluable records of their teachings, of the experiences they had with themselves and with God. Had we lived before those masters came, we would have been without them. The only thing that now remains is that we have to view these scriptures in their right perspective. And to begin with, we have to learn the terminology of the scriptures. If you read the scriptures under the guidance of one who has had no experience with the light within, who has not known God as a first-hand experience, then it becomes almost impossible to understand the otherwise simple and accessible truth taught by the masters. In Revelation it is said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he dwelleth with them. Some people will ask, where should we find God? For that purpose we shall have to look within our own self, which the seers say is the true temple of God. We have to make the best use of the scriptures and of the places of worship. We must understand the true import of the scriptures we have, but we cannot do so until we sit at the feet of one who has himself experienced what they describe and is capable of giving us that experience. Only a true master is competent to give us all of that. Again, what do the scriptures say? They speak of the true home of our Father and pray, thy kingdom come. I am not going to give you examples from all the scriptures. I have simply laid before you the gist of what they say within the short time I have at my disposal, in order to bring home to you the truth as it is given in them. We find in our Bible, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. The kingdom of God is within you. If we have to enter the kingdom of God, we have to enter the kingdom of God within us, and not go outside in search of it. Other scriptures say, the Word is beyond all physical perception and limitations. The Word, the source of all blessings, dwells within the human frame. If you ascend within, then alone you will experience the Word. In the Bible we find, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Those who are just leading the life of the physical senses and do not know how to transcend body consciousness will not have everlasting life. But whosoever shall lose his life shall save it. Losing one's life does not mean committing suicide. It means coming above body consciousness while alive. Let me relate to you a sad incident that took place in India, due to an ignorance of the real meaning of the scriptures. We read in the Bible that the kingdom of God is within us. It can be gained by death and life, or in other words, by taking a new birth. For we have in the scriptures, whosoever loses this life shall have life everlasting. This is what a certain man had read in the scriptures. The ministers had given him to understand that by just dying, he would enter the kingdom of God, for the ministers had no practical experience of the truth given in the scriptures. So what did the poor fellow do? He took a glass of wine and put in it a big lump of opium. He placed it on the table before him and said, O God, I am now coming to you. With these words he drank the deadly potion, killed himself, and thus brought ruin on himself and his family. This was the result of blind faith in the teachings of blind priests. The scriptures never meant this. Of course they tell us, unless you lose this life, you cannot have everlasting life. But losing this life means just rising above body consciousness at will. It is a practical subject that we can learn at the feet of someone who has had that experience and is a real adept in the theory and the practice of the science of spirituality. And we'll continue that talk, the kingdom of God, next time. The tape is finishing up a tape called The Only Three Things. This was a bhajan, a vani of Swamiji that Sanchi commented on at Shama's in 1992. There's about 5 minutes left of the tape, and after that we'll start a satsang that Sanchi gave in Canada. We'll begin that after this finishes.
ਸਜਾ ਕੇ ਰੱਖਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਨਿੰਦਣਾ ਜਾਵੇ ਕਿ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਘਰ ਅੱਛੀ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਸਜਾਇਆ ਹੋਇਆ ਨਹੀਂ ਸਾਫ਼ ਨਹੀਂ
ਯੂ ਨੋ ਦੈਟ ਇਫ ਸਪੋਜ਼ ਦੈਰ ਇਜ਼ ਸਮਵਨ ਸਮ ਗੈਸਟ ਔਰ ਸਮ ਰਿਲੇਟਿਵ ਇਜ਼ ਸਪੋਜ਼ ਟੂ ਕਮ ਟੂ ਅਵਰ ਹੋਮ ਹਾਊ ਕਲੀਨ ਵੀ ਮੇਕ ਅਵਰ ਹਾਊਸ ਐਂਡ ਹਾਊ ਬਿਊਟੀਫੁਲੀ ਵੀ ਡੈਕੋਰੇਟ ਅਵਰ ਹਾਊਸ ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਵੀ ਆਰ ਅਫਰੇਡ ਦੈਟ ਇਫ ਅਵਰ ਹਾਊਸ ਵਿਲ ਨਾਟ ਲੁੱਕ ਸੋ ਗੁੱਡ ਹੀ ਵਿਲ ਕ੍ਰਿਟੀਸਾਈਜ਼ ਅਸ
ਕੀ ਉਹ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਸਾਫ਼ ਹੈ ਪਵਿੱਤਰ ਹੈ ਸੁੱਚਾ ਹੈ ਉੱਚਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਸਾਡੇ ਵਿਸ਼ੇ ਬਕਾਰਾਂ ਦੇ ਪਰਿਆਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਆ ਕੇ ਪ੍ਰਗਟ ਹੋਵੇ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਬੈਠੇ
ਹਾਊ ਕੈਨ ਦੇਅਰ ਗੋਡ ਹੂ ਇਜ਼ ਵੈਰੀ ਪਿਓਰ ਵੈਰੀ ਹੋਲੀ ਵੈਰੀ ਕਲੀਨ ਵੈਰੀ ਟਰੂ ਕਮ ਐਂਡ ਮੈਨੀਫੈਸਟ ਹਿਮਸੈਲਫ ਵਿਦ ਇਨ ਅਸ ਹੂ ਆਰ ਫੁੱਲ ਆਫ ਡਰਟ ਐਂਡ ਫਿਲਥ
ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਸਦਾ ਹੀ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸੀ ਭਗਵਾਨ ਦਾ ਪਾਉਣਾ ਮੁਸ਼ਕਿਲ ਨਹੀਂ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਦਾ ਬਣਨਾ ਮੁਸ਼ਕਿਲ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸੀਗੇ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਦੀ ਭਗਵਾਨ ਤਲਾਸ਼ ਵਿੱਚ ਰਹਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ
ਮਾਸਟਰ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਸਿੰਘ ਜੀ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਨਾਟ ਐਜ਼ ਡਿਫੀਕਲਟ ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਨਾਟ ਡਿਫੀਕਲਟ ਟੂ ਫਾਈਂਡ ਗੋਡ ਐਜ਼ ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਡਿਫੀਕਲਟ ਟੂ ਬਿਕਮ ਅ ਮੈਨ ਹੀ ਆਲਸੋ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਗੋਡ ਇਜ਼ ਆਲਵੇਜ਼ ਇਨ ਸਰਚ ਆਫ ਅ ਮੈਨ
ਸੋ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਵੀ ਚਾਹੀਦਾ ਹੈ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਨੇ ਇਹ ਛੋਟੇ ਜਿਹੇ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਬੜੇ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾਲ ਸਮਝਾਇਆ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਦਾ ਜਾਨਾ ਇੱਕ ਤੋਹਫਾ ਦਿੱਤਾ ਹੋਇਆ ਹੈ ਇਹ ਮੌਕਾ ਦਿੱਤਾ ਹੋਇਆ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਨਾਮ ਦਾ ਤੋਹਫਾ ਦਿੱਤਾ ਹੋਇਆ ਹੈ ਜੋ ਕੁਛ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਨਾਲ ਦੇਖਦੇ ਹੈ ਇਹ ਇੱਕ ਛਲਾਵਾ ਹੈ ਸੁਪਨ ਹੈ ਕਿਹੜੀ ਚੀਜ਼ ਸੱਚੀ ਹੈ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਸੱਚਾ ਹੈ ਨਾਮ ਸੱਚਾ ਹੈ ਉਹਦੀ ਸੰਗਤ ਸੋਭਤ ਜਿਹੜੀ ਅਸੀਂ ਕਰ ਲਈ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਸੱਚੀ ਹੈ ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਆਪ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਇਹ ਅਵਸਰ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਮਿਲਿਆ ਹੈ ਇਸ ਤੋਂ ਪੂਰਾ ਪੂਰਾ ਲਾਭ ਉਠਾਉਣਾ ਹੈ
ਸੋ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਬਰੀਫ ਹਿਮ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਲਵਿੰਗਲੀ ਐਕਸਪਲੇਨ ਟੂ ਅਸ ਦੈਟ ਦਿਸ ਹਿਊਮਨ ਬਰਥ ਇਜ਼ ਅ ਪ੍ਰੈਸ਼ੀਅਸ ਗਿਫਟ ਵਿਚ ਗੋਡ ਆਲਮਾਈਟੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਗਿਵਨ ਟੂ ਅਸ ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਦੀ ਪ੍ਰੈਸ਼ੀਅਸ ਅਪੋਰਚੁਨਿਟੀ ਇਨ ਵਿਚ ਵੀ ਕੈਨ ਡੂ ਹਿਸ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਵਟ ਐਵਰ ਵੀ ਸੀ ਵਿਦ ਅਵਰ ਆਈਜ਼ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ ਇਜ਼ ਨਥਿੰਗ ਬਟ ਦ ਡਿਸੈਪਸ਼ਨ ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਆਲ ਡਰੀਮ ਨਨ ਆਫ ਦੀਸ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਆਰ ਗੋਇੰਗ ਟੂ ਗੋ ਵਿਦ ਅਸ What is the true thing? The Sadguru is the truth. The Sangat or the time we spend in his company is the truth. And the Naam which he has given to us is the truth. So like Swamiji Maharaj has lovingly explained to us that Naam is the precious gift which we have been given. We should appreciate that gift. And doing the meditation of the Shabad Naam, we should make our this human birth worthwhile.
Haan bhai, suna.
Okay, now as you all know that this was the last satsang of this program here at Shama's Meditation Retreat. And Sanji has asked me to thank all the dear ones. And this is a brief message which he dictated to me and which I have translated. I am extremely grateful to my beloved Lord Savan Kripal for giving me this opportunity to come here and making me serve their children. It is indeed a miracle which my beloved Lords have performed, because considering my health, up until a week before we left India, it didn't look like I could take such a long trip. So, millions of thanks to him for fulfilling everyone's desire. Also, I would like to thank all the trustees of Shamas Meditation Retreat, director of this program, and all the sevadars who did tremendous amount of selfless seva for myself and the dear ones who are traveling with me, and for all those dear ones who have come here. You know how much we have to work and go out of our way if we have just a few guests coming into our house. Imagine the amount of the work involved. I appreciate all the arrangements here. The food in the langar was prepared with so much love and devotion, and it was very well served. I pray to Almighty Lord Kripal to bless all the sevadars with all his strength. May he always keep them attached to his holy feet, and may he always keep the desire to serve in their hearts. Finally, I would like to thank all the dear ones who attended this program for their cooperation and understanding. I appreciate the discipline maintained by the children. Also, I appreciate the understanding of the dear ones. I hope that, like I am leaving this place with a lot of gratitude and pleasure. I am very grateful to my beloved master and to all the dear ones for making good arrangements here. You will also leave this place or go from here with all the satisfaction and becoming pleased with the seva of the dear ones. If you have had any unpleasant encounters or feelings with any of the sevadars, please forget it and forgive it on behalf of all the sevadars. If they have made any mistake or if they have hurt your feelings, I apologize to you. You know that sometimes those who do the seva have to become strict in order to maintain the discipline. In the end, I would like to remind you the words of our beloved Lord Kripal, even though you have heard this so many times. He used to say that we should give up hundreds of important works to attend the satsangs, and we should give up thousands of important works for doing the meditation. He also used to say that we should not eat until we have done the meditation. So I hope that you will always remember these precious words of my beloved Lord Kripal, and you will continue attending the satsangs and will do your meditations regularly. All the dear ones who are continuing on to Calgary, they are requested that they will allow the people of that area to come and see me in the darshan, and they will not request for another darshan. May God bless you all. Thank you.
परमात्मा रूप गुरुदेव सावन कृपाल के चरणों नमस्कार है जी ने सानू आपकी याद मनाने का आपकी याद विच बैठने का मौका दिता है। कबीर साहब ने कहा सी, गुर को रखे शीस पर चले आग्या माहे, कहे कबीर तैं दास को तीन लोक डरना है।
सैल्यूटेशंस अनटू द फीट ऑफ द फॉर्म ऑफ गॉड गुरुदेव सावन एंड कृपाल हु गेव अस दिस अपॉर्चुनिटी टू रिमेंबर देम एंड हु गेव अस दिस अपॉर्चुनिटी टू सिट इन द रिमेंबरेंस एंड डू दैट डिवोशन। कबीर साहब हैड सेड दैट द डिसाइपल हु ऑलवेज फील्स एज इफ हिज मास्टर इज अबव हिज हेड, and he who obeys the commandments of the master, Kabir says that such a disciple of the master does not have to fear anyone in the three worlds.
Main sada hi kehna hunda ki main apni ichha na kade aaya na kade gaya hai na meri koi hai hi, main us prabhu kripal da bhejya ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਪਾਸ ਆਉਣਾ ਹੈ ਜਦੋਂ ਹੁਕਮ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਮੈਂ ਚਲਿਆ ਜਾਂਦਾ
ਆਲਵੇਜ਼ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਸੈਡ ਦੈਟ ਨੀਦਰ ਆਈ ਕਮ ਹੇਅਰ ਅਕੋਰਡਿੰਗ ਟੂ ਮਾਈ ਡਿਜ਼ਾਇਰ ਨੋਰ ਆਈ ਲੀਵ ਹੇਅਰ ਐਸ ਪਰ ਮਾਈ ਵਿਸ਼ ਆਈ ਡੋਂਟ ਹੈਵ ਐਨੀ ਡਿਜ਼ਾਇਰਸ ਟੂ ਕਮ ਐਂਡ ਗੋ ਵੈਨਐਵਰ ਹੀ ਸੈਂਡਸ ਮੀ ਆਈ ਕਮ ਐਂਡ ਵੈਨਐਵਰ ਹੀ ਵਾਂਟਸ ਮੀ ਟੂ ਗੋ ਬੈਕ ਆਈ ਗੋ
ਉਸ ਨੇ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਪਿਆਰ ਦੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਪਿਉਂਦ ਲਾਈ ਮੈਂ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਪਾਣੀ ਦੇਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਆਉਣਾ ਹੈ
He planted the saplings of the love all over the world and I come here only to water those plants
Parmatma Kripal pyar da samundar si main bachpane to hi pyar da pujari si ga mainu unna de charnan de vich baith ke pyar hi milya oh pyar hi tade lokan de naal bantan vaste main auna hai
God Kripal was an ocean of love and I had been a devotee of love since my childhood Sitting at his feet, I received only love. So I come here only to share his love with all of you.
Sabhi sant, jo bhi sansar vich parmatma de bheje aunde hai, o pyar da paath hi padhaun vaste aunde hai. Jo bhi unna de paas aunde hai, unna nu vi o paath da paath, pyar da paath hi padhaunde hai, kyunki parmatma pyar hai.
All those saints who are sent in this world by God Almighty, they teach us the lesson of love. And all those who go to such saints, the masters, the saints, teach them only this lesson of love.
Pehla kam guru da hunda hai, ke sab nu mila ke bithona, ode charna vich baithiyan, eh khayal nahi rehnda, ke eh kaun hai te oh kaun hai.
The first job of the master is to make everyone sit together, sitting in his company, we do not remain aware that who is who.
Oh, sanu pyar na dasde hai, ke dekho pyareo, apa ikke hi so mein sat naam di ans hai, usse so mein jo aaye hai, aur saare apa ikke pita de putr hai.
Lovingly they tell us that we are the essence of the same origin, Satnam. We all have come out from the same origin and we are the children of the same father.
Ehne thanu galat fehmi payi hui hai. Alag alag firke bana ke ke main Hindu hai, main Sikh hai, main Isai hai, main American hai, main Hindustani haan. Nahi pyare ho. Asi atma karke sare hi ek hain.
Unnecessarily you have the misunderstandings after creating the different sects and the religions that you are the Hindu or the Muslim or the Christian or you belong to America or to India and to other different countries. No dear ones, it is not like this. We all are one.
Guru Gobind Singh ne keha si, ikko tarike na si janm lene hai, saryan nu ikko tarike na maut aundi hai, ikko jehe hath hai, ikko jehe kann hai, ikko jehi aankhan han, aur ikko jehi awaaz hai saadi.
Guru Gobind Singh Ji had said that we all take the birth in the same manner. We all have the similar kind of faces. We all have the same kind of hands and feet. We all have the same kind of voice.
So Guru Gobind Singh kande assi bane vi sare panja tattan de hain. Hawa hai, agg hai, paani hai, akash hai. To sare assi insaan chahe kise vi mulk da hai, oh panja tattan de hi bane hoye hain.
So Guru Gobind Singh Ji says that all the human beings, we all are made up of the same five elements like the air, water, ether, sky and fire. So he says that all the human beings, no matter where they are born, they all are made up with the five elements.
Jo jinnah da parmatma naal pyar hai, oh parmatma di khalkat de naal vi pyar karde hai. ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਸਦਾ ਹੀ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸੀਗੇ ਜੋ ਲੋਕ ਇਹ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਅਸੀਂ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨਾਲ ਪਿਆਰ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਜਿਸ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਨੂੰ ਰੋਜ਼ ਦੇਖਦੇ ਹੈ ਜਿਹਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਰੋਜ਼ ਦਾ ਸੰਪਰਕ ਹੈ ਉਸ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਉਹ ਘਿਰਨਾ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਬੁਰੀ ਨਜ਼ਰ ਨਾਲ ਦੇਖਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਕਿਵੇਂ ਦਮ ਭਰ ਸਕਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਅਸੀਂ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨਾਲ ਪਿਆਰ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ
ਦੋਸ ਹੂ ਲਵ ਗੋਡ ਦੇ ਆਲਸੋ ਲਵ ਹਿਸ ਕ੍ਰੀਚਰਸ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਸਿੰਘ ਜੀ ਆਲਵੇਜ਼ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਪੀਪਲ ਕਲੇਮ ਦੈਟ ਦੇ ਲਵ ਗੋਡ ਬਟ since they had not seen God, but still they claim that they love God, whereas the people whom they see every day, with whom they deal every day, they don't love them. So how can those who do not love the creatures made by God Almighty can claim to be the lovers of God?
परमात्मा कृपाल ने ऐसी नाम दी बारिश की ऐसा प्यार दी छटे खिलारे कोई भी मुल्क उसने आप तो दूर नहीं किया हर आत्मा नु समुद्रा दियां तहां पहाड़ा दियां चोटियां ते जाके पालिया उन्हां नु प्यार सिखाया प्यार दा पाठ ही पढ़ाया.
God Kripal caused such a rain of naam to shower and he did not left any part of this world untouched by his grace. He went on the top of the mountains, he went to the depths of the ocean, and wherever his souls were, he went there and searched for them, and he connected them with the love, with the naam.
Bahut sare premi mere naal samsa ashram to california to naal chal rahe hai. Aap nu pata hai main shaade lafza naal परमार्थ समझाना है. महाराज सावण सिंह कहते होंगे सीगे एक लठ है ओनू चाहे डंडा कह लो चाहे लठ कह लो बात तो एक ही है. तो मैं दसदा है कि गुरु तो बगैर नाम नहीं मिलता, नाम तो बगैर मुक्ति नहीं, सत्संग तो बगैर साड़ी तहकीकात मुकम्मल नहीं हुंदी. मुक्ति दे तिन्ने ही साधन हन, सिमरन, भजन, ध्यान.
Many dear ones who have been touring with me since Shama's meditation retreat would have noticed that I explained the spirituality in very simple words. Master Sawan Singh used to say that suppose there is a piece of wood, you may call it with the name stick or some other name, but it will remain what it is. So in that way, I explained to you in very simple words that unless we go to the perfect master, we cannot get the naam. Unless we do the meditation of naam, we cannot get the liberation. And unless we go to the satsang, we cannot know our faults. These are the three important things. These are the only three important means through which we can achieve the liberation.
Jis satsangi di jawan de utte simran hai aur manmohni murat गुरु की अखां दे अगे है उनू अंत समय अड़ीक नहीं करनी पैंदी कि गुरु आएगा या ना आएगा.
द सत्संगी हू हैज द सिमरन ऑन हिज टंग एंड हू हैज द ब्यूटिफुल फॉर्म ऑफ द मास्टर इन हिज आईज ही डज नॉट हैव टू वेट फॉर द मास्टर एट हिज टाइम ऑफ डेथ. ही डज नॉट हैव टू वंडर वेदर द मास्टर विल कम और नॉट.
आवाज तो शुरू शुरू दे विच ही सानू कन बंद करने पैंदे है. रोज रोज दे अभ्यास ना महारत हो जांदी है. आवाज अपने आप ही मत्थे दे अंदर आउणी शुरू हो जांदी है तो तुरिया जांदा भी इंसान उस आवाज नाल जुड़िया रहिंदा है.
फॉर द साउंड और फॉर लिसनिंग द साउंड ओनली इन द बिगिनिंग वी नीड टू प्लग अवर ईयर्स टू लिसन टू दैट साउंड. बट when we keep doing our meditations regularly, then we become competent in that, because the sound is coming from the eye center, and when we become competent in that, when we listen to it every day, then the sound starts coming at our eye center by itself, and one can hear it even while he is walking and doing other things, because that sound is always within a person.
Sab sante hi kehnde hai ke मौत दे वक्त इंसान नू जाग आउंदी है उदों पछतावा करदा है कि मैं अपनी जो पूंजी सी सारी पंग दे पाड़े गुआ दित्ती है.
ऑल द सेंट्स से दैट ओनली एट द टाइम ऑफ द डेथ अ पर्सन वेक्स अप एंड ही रियलाइजेस दैट ही हैज लॉस्ट हिज कैपिटल इन द यूजलेस थिंग्स.
महाराज जी मिसाल दिंदे हुंदे सन के कोई लकड़हारा सी वो बाहर लकड़ियां चौक के उदे कोले बना के बेचता हुंदा सी. बादशाह जंगल अंदर गया उनू प्यास लगी सी उन्हें उसकी मदद की पानी दे दिता. बादशाह खुश हो गया. उसने उन्हें कीमती तो कीमती चीज संदल का बाग दिता उस बेचारे नूं पता नहीं सी कि बादशाह ने किन्नी मेरे ते मेहरबानी कीती है, किन्नी कीमती चीज दिती है। वो आम लकड़ियां दी तरह रोज उस कट के कोले करके साड़दा रहा। एक दिन बादशाह दिल च ख्याल आया कि शायद वो लकड़हारा बड़े अच्छे मकान बना के रहिंदा होना है, सुख दी जिंदगी बतीत करदा होएगा। जे देखिया वह बेचारा पहला दी तरह ही गरीब सीगा, उन्हूं कहा कि तेनू बड़ा चंगा बाग कीमती दिता सी। वह कहिंदा जी मैं तो सारे ही कोले बना दिते है। कहिंदे कोई तेरे कोले लकड़ है संदल दी बची? कुहाड़े दे अंदर एक दस्ता सी, कहिंदा इतनी है। जदों राजे दे अहलकारा ने उसका काफ़ी सारा मुल पाया, वह बड़ा ही पछताया। लेकिन फिर पछताया प्यारे की हुंदा है, जद समा जो सी वो हाथ चो निकल गया। ये तो एक कहानी है। सच्चाई की है कि वो परमात्मा बादशाह है, असी लकड़हारे हाँ। गरीबी दे विच रूहानियत दे विच अति गरीब हैं, दवालिएपन ते खड़े हैं। तो उन्हें सानू ये इंसान का जामा संदल दी लकड़ी दिता है, लेकिन असी की कोले करते हैं विशे बकारा विच, मैं मेरी विच लग के इस कीमती समय नू असी बर्बाद करी जाने हैं। जदों आखरी टाइम आउंदा है वो लकड़हारे दी तरह फिर असी पछताउने आ, लेकिन बंदा फिर की है।
मास्टर कृपाल यूज्ड टू टेल अ स्टोरी ऑफ अ वुड कटर हु यूज्ड टू लिव इन अ वेरी पुअर कंडीशन इन द फॉरेस्ट। ही यूज्ड टू कट डाउन द ट्रीज एंड बर्न द वुड एंड मेक द कोल आउट ऑफ इट एंड सेल इट। In that way he used to earn his livelihood. One day the king of that kingdom went in the forest. He lost his way. He became very thirsty. He came to the place where that woodcutter was living. Woodcutter gave him some water to drink. The king became very pleased, and he thought that since this woodcutter is a very poor person, I should give him some reward. So he gave him a very precious thing. He gave him a forest of sandalwood, thinking that after selling the sandalwood he will become very rich and he will live a very comfortable life. But that woodcutter did not have any appreciation for the sandalwood. He did not know that how much precious wealth he had been given. So he continued doing the same thing with the sandalwood trees. He started cutting down the sandalwood trees and he made the coal out of it, burned them and made the coal out of it and sold it like the ordinary wood. And in that way he lived his life, and gradually he finished off the forest of that sandalwood. Now the king one day thought that maybe by now that woodcutter has become a very rich person and he must be living a very comfortable life. So he went there to see that the woodcutter was still living in the same miserable condition. So he asked him that why it is so, what happened to the thing which I gave you, what happened to the sandalwood tree I gave, the forest I gave you. He said, well, I cut down all the trees and I made the charcoal and I sold it. So then the king told him that is there any piece left with you? He said that yes, my axe, I have it made with the sandalwood. So when king sent him with that piece of wood which was used in his axe to his people, and when they valued that small piece of sandalwood, then that woodcutter realized that what a great mistake he had done by cutting down all the sandalwood trees and by burning them into the coals. And then he repented, but what could be done at that time? So this is just a story. The reality is that we are like that woodcutter, and God Almighty is the king, and we have been given this precious wealth, this precious human body, which is like the sandalwood forest. And what are we doing? Just like that woodcutter, we are also wasting this precious human birth. We are indulging in the pleasures, and in this way we are wasting this precious human birth. But when we realize, then it becomes too late, just like that woodcutter.
Main os mahan
and this is a bhajan of Sanchi's on page 27. Satguru pyare meri, oh, beloved Satguru, improve my life. Suffering by karma, I am calling at your door. I have not even a little control over you. Except you, in this world, nothing else is mine. I have come to your shelter. Don't reject me. I have got much suffering. No more agony. Cool my heart, which is heated by pain. O beloved Satguru, improve my life. Satguru pyare meri jindagi savarte karma de mare tere darte pukarte Satguru pyare meri jindagi savarte karma de mare tere darde te pukarde de tere te guru ji mera rai rati jodana tere bajo duniya te mera koi hodna tere te guru ji mera rai rati jodana tere bajo duniya te mera koi hodna satguru pyare meri jindagi savarte de karma de mare tere darte pukarde de Sharana me teri aya, menu tu karaina, dukha me ba tere paaye, hoda tada faina. Sharana me teri aya, menu tu karaina, Dukha me ba tere paaye, hoda tada faina. Satguru pyare meri, jindagi savarte de, karma de mare tere, darte pukarde de. Dukha nala tapia tu, dila mera tarde de, Satguru pyare meri, jindagi savarte de. Dukha nala tapia tu, dila mera tarde de, Satguru pyare meri jindagi savarte Satguru pyare meri jindagi savarte de karma de mare tere darte pukarde de I have come to your shelter. Don't reject me. I have got much suffering. No more agony. Cool my heart, which is heated by pain. O beloved Satguru, improve my life. Suffering by karma, I am calling at your door. May God continue to bless us all.